This year has been dedicated in honor of David and Sandra Lehrer and their beautiful family. Yehi ratzon sheyizku l'toira ulhatzlacha v'nachas l'oirach yomim mishanim tovim v'noyim.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The following shiurim in Yetz Hashem, we're going to be entering the realm of Issa v'Heter. The basic sugyas of what's known as Issa v'Heter is Taruvis and Basa b'Cholov, the Prokim of Perikid Anosh and Kol HaBosor, and we're going to try to define and elucidate somewhat the principles that underlie the whole whole structure of Hilchas Taruvis and Basa b'Cholov. Again, it's a Miktsoya Godel Bater. The Halacha L'maisa is a vast undertaking. There's a tremendous amount to learn when one learns Taruvis and Basa b'Cholov. But again, just to give some type of structure to the sugyas themselves, that the halachas, the basic principles, should become more alive and have more chiyus as we go through the prokim. Just starting this Miktsoya as an introduction brings to mind a interesting conversation I one time had between two of the Gedolei Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, where there was a kollel that was undertaking to thoroughly learn for a year, year and a half, the Simanim Shulchan Aruch of Issa v'Heter, of Taruvis and Basa b'Cholov, and there was a discussion which of the halachas to learn first. In Yerideya, the Simanim of Basa b'Cholov come first, starts from Simen Pei Zayin, and it goes till Simen Tzadikhes. From Simen Tzadikhes till Simen Kuf Yud Beis is Hilchas Taruvis. So one of the Poskim said that if the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch put the halachas of Basa b'Cholov first, then one should learn Basa b'Cholov first. They could place for Basa b'Cholov a little bit later in our Perikin and Ashadav Kuf, and mostly in the Sugya of Basa b'Cholov, which is Kuf Ches, and so on and so forth. The other Poskim answered him, and this is the more or less accepted as the common way to get into the Inyonim, is that the structural underpinnings of the sugyas of Basa b'Cholov are based on Taruvis. In order to understand the halachis of Milchik, Mixin Defleshik, when is it called that it does have time, when is it yeah aser, when is it not aser, when is it called that the whole pat becomes aser, when is only a little bit of the pat become aser, one has to study the sugis of Taruvis, and based on the sugis of Taruvis, one can thereafter tackle Basa b'Cholov. Why does the Mechaber put Basa b'Cholov first? It's very simple. The shailas that come in front of a Rav are mostly not shailas of machol sasuris of chelev or dvarim tmeim falling into a pot of meat. Doesn't generally happen in a kosher kitchen that a bug falls into a pot of meatballs on the stove. What's much more common is a milchik spoon falling into a fleshik pot, or cutting up onions that were fried with fleshiks with a power of a knife, and so on and so forth. That's more the range of shailas that are practical, that are asked, are more in the realm of Basa b'Cholov. In the sugyas themselves, and that's why in Shas it's that way also, the sugya of Taruvis, Tam Keiker, Tam Oyser comes before the sugya of Basa b'Cholov. In Shulchan Aruch it's set up in a practical terms. Another application of this principle would be the fact that Hagolas Kelim in Shulchan Aruch is not in Hilchis, is not in Yeridei with the halachas of Taruvis and Kelim that become Aser. In the Rambam, the halach of Hagolas Kelim, purifying, of getting rid of the tam that's balu and a kli that became Aser, those halachas have to be found in Hilchas Machol Sasurus, along with the halachas of Machol Sasurus themselves. In Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of Hagolas Kelim, interestingly, are not in Yeridei, where they should be conceptually. Rather, the halachas are in Erech Chaim and Hilchas Pesach. Why is that? Because the time of the year that most Jews traditionally ask questions about how to do Hagolas Kelim is Pesach. Shulchan Aruch is a Rav, is a Paisik. And it's set up, Shulchan Aruch is set up in order of how a person would ask a shayla. If the time of the year to ask the shaylus of hagdolos kelim is before Pesach. So then that's where the halachas are. Conceptually, however, in order to understand the different difficulties of hagdolos kelim, getting out of tambalua and how does one get rid of the tam and grates if one wants to use them for Pesach, the grates that are on the stove, which are harder because it was on the fire, and how does one take care of kelim that the dam dripped down in on top of it in the middle of melich, in the melicha process in a factory, all these type of shaylas are conceptually Yerideya Shadas. However, practically, they usually come up in Eruch Chaim. So we're, as we said, now going to be discussing the underlying ideas that create the halachas of Taruvus before we get into Bas B'Cholom. It's a bit less practical, as we said, but it's structurally the right place to start. And that's the way it is in the sugyas. The sugya on Tzadik Vav, Tzadik Zayin, Tzadik Ches, that discusses the gid anosha that was cooked in the rest of the meat. It was cooked together with the rest of the animal. Does it aser the rest of the animal? Yerush and Esbashimul gid anosha. The sugyan tzadik zayin, the sugyan tzadik ches, discusses the concept of tam keikr. Tam keikr means when one has a pot of food, one has a food, and it is tam of iser. In the food, in this case it's a pot of meat, it's an animal that was cooked, and inside of that, there's either the geranosho, the chelov, or the dam was left. And the question is, does it ask for the rest of the meat? Is the rest of the meat boileya? Is the taste strong enough? Does it ask? Does it not ask? Is it nosin tam l'shvach? Is it nosin tam l'vgam? And so on and so forth. The concept of tam keikr sounds rather straightforward. Everybody knows that Chazal defined that a taste will stay in something until there's shishim. When we learn the sugya, since that's a conventional piece of wisdom that everybody knows, how to reckon, how to make a reckoning of these 60, whether you include the pot, whether you don't include the pot, if you had a tray for pot, how do you count 60 connected the pot, do you count the water, the food, the kosher food, the tray for food, so on and so forth, all those in the Yonim are discussed in our sugyas. But the concept itself is a pretty straightforward concept, that b'metzius one does not taste the taste of Dvar Masurim once there is 60 times that amount of heter. Of course, in the Gemara by us, the sugya is the musik of kfeilo, some pronounce it kifilo, which means a chef. It's a machlekes Rishonim, exactly how this halacha works, but the basic idea is that it's shayich, even in less than 60, that the tam is already not nikur, in which case it would become mutter. The Shulchan Aruch does bring the halacha of kfeilo, of a goyish chef tasting. The minig of Ashkenazim is like the Rishonim that a machmir, that bezman is that we do not use the halacha of kvela. The rationale behind that is discussed at length in the poskim. There is a famous story where there was a chassan in the old city of Yerushalayim about 120 years ago, and there was some chelev. Those days they used to make candles out of animal fat. So there was some chelev that was dripped from a candle into a pot of food. It was not clear if there was shishim. The Maril Diskin, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, then Rabbi Shmuel Lev Diskin, had a goyish chef, taste the food. And then he had a Svardi, who follows the minig of the Mechaber, eat the food based on the fact that the chef said that there was no taste of chelev. Once the Svardi ate the food, then his etus was had an amonus, even for Ashkenazim. Maril Diskin accepted the opinion of the Achronim that the reason why we don't rely on kfeilah is we don't trust a goy. Obviously, a yid can't taste the l'chatchilah because we don't know if it's mutter asur. You don't want to put into your mouth a suffix of machalos asur. You need a goy to taste it. But once the yid tasted it, the Ashkenazi was able to rely on the testimony of the Sfardi that the food had no taste. It's just an interesting point. As practically, obviously, this is not so practical in the average kitchen. What we're going to have to use is bittul b'shishim. If a small spoon, which was treif, was used to stir the meatballs in a huge pot where somebody's cooking a meal for about 50 people, for a bar mitzvah, for sheva brachas, there the shayla is going to have to be bittul b'shishim. How much of the spoon went into the pot? Does it make a difference how much of it went into the food, how much of it went into the water, how much of it was covered over by the steam on top of the food? All these are shaylas that go into the psakim of Bittul B'shish. As far as the concept itself of Tam Keikr is concerned, I think it's important to delve into the concepts of the Sugya Tam Keikr. What is the Chiddush of Tam Keikr? Tam Keikr is somewhat of a Sugya by us. It's also a Sugya in Nazir, a sugya at length, whether tam ki'ikr, and a sugya in Psachim daf mem dal, also by Rikos. And over there, the Gemara brings a pasuk of Mishras. Mishras is a pasuk in the parish of Nazir. Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat grapes, as well as being the Tamil Amesim, cutting his ear. As far as the issue of drinking wine is concerned, the Gemara explains, there's a pasuk Mishras enough. What is Mishras? Mishras means to soak. Doing laundry in the Gemara is referred to as Mishras also. It's soaking clothing in water. So the Mishras anovim, where the Gemara explains that bread was soaked in wine and then eaten, would also be also to the Nazir, based on which concept? The bread, it says, he's not eating wine. He's eating bread that has in it wine. So you'll tell me, what's the difference if he's drinking a cup of wine or if some wine taste is absorbed, some purple flavored wine taste is absorbed into the bread and thereby he's also drinking wine. What's the difference? There's a sugya in Daf Kuf Yud Beis by us, Meseches Chum, that talks about Hatmeim. The pasuk says in the Pasha of Shrotzim, Hatmeim l'rabos tzirun, that not only is a sheretz also to eat, of course, which is pashut, but also the tzir, also the liquid which emits from the a cooked sheretz, which is not the sheretz itself, it's only the liquid, the kilu, the tam of the sheretz, is also also to eat. And the Tosfos wants to know why we need a pasuk of Hatmeim. Why not learn out of Mishras, which is the above mentioned pasuk, by Nozir, which teaches us, as the Gemara says in Nozir and Himself and Daf Memdal, that tam ki ikr, which means tam, when something has in it a tam of iser, a person could be eating a bowl of cornflakes, but if it has in it a tam of yayin, a person could be eating a piece of bread, but it hasn't a tam of yayin. That tam is to be considered that the person who's eating the bread is drinking wine, insofar as Hilchos Nazir is concerned. Or the Gemara says himself in Daf Memdal v'Gabi Chometz. If something is mutter, and in the Pesach Dika food, there's a tam of Chometz, over there also tam cake. So why do we need the pasuk of Atmein? Others explain, it's not clear if Tosfos holds this way or doesn't hold this way, seems to be a discussion in the Rashi, in the Rashi Daf Tzadiches, that the concept of Tam Keiker is not so pashut for a few different reasons. What is the Torah teaching us when the Torah is Mechadosh Tam Keiker? There's two basic problems. I want to start with the more basic one first. As far as the concept, we mentioned this before, the concept of saying that when something has a Tam of Yain, is that called his drinking wine? Or is that called he's eating bread? It happens to be wine-flavored bread. If somebody eats a chocolate bar, and on the list of ingredients is sugar, and for sure the chocolate bar has a sugary taste, is that called he's eating sugar? Or is he eating cocoa? Because that's what the chocolate bar essentially is made out of. And the sugar is there to flavor. Well, sugar might be a very strong flavor. But there are certain things which might give a dish with which they're flavored. If somebody puts a few drops of paprika into a cooked dish, is that called that he's eating paprika? Well, that's called he's eating cholent. And it happens to get a flavor from the paprika. But right now, the paprika is gone. It's not here. It's nimuach. The Achroinim explain, vis-a-vis Tosfos Kasha, that we just mentioned on Kuf Yud Beis, that the concept of Hatmeim, the Rabbis of Satsir, teaches us this itself. Teaches us that the essence of something, which gives tam into something else, is to be considered a form of eating that thing itself. Eating a sheretz is not only allowed when one eats of something that has the shape, form, and taste of a mouse. If somebody eats, if there was a sheretz that was cooked in a pot, and there was some leftover, some gel, or some liquidized, melted sheretz, leftover, and a person would eat that, that would also be called eating sheretz. One might say, not that way. No, a sheretz is only when you eat the sheretz itself. Not what comes out of the sheretz when it's cooked. That chiddush we learn out of the pasuk of Atmein, that's bechlal not a chiddush in the sugya of tam keiker. Insofar as tam keiker is concerned, here the stress is not that tzir is also a sheretz. It's not that a tam of chelev or a tam of bas b'chol that fell into a pot cooking on a Jewish housewife's stove is to be considered that thing itself. That it's that a cooked tam of basa b'cholov, or of chaylev, or of chazer, whatever the case may be, is to be considered a dvar iser that we learn on the sugya Kuf Yud Beis. But now we have another problem. And this is a more lumdusha problem. We have a problem that b'chol la'tayra kula we go basa roif. We say if there are 10 pieces of meat mixed up, we learned the Mishnah where it's talking about treif meat and kosher meat. The Mishnah on Daf Tzadikei, rather the sugya on Daf Tzadikei. Mishnah is not on Daf Tzadikei. The Mishnah is someplace else. But the sugyas that talk about haloich basar roiv, when you want to know if most of the meat in the market is kosher or not kosher, what's their eyes, what's their bond. But there's a concept of bitul b'roiv that we use b'chol machol sasuz. We've discussed this concept at length in many concepts, in many contexts. So that's the basic question. Why don't we say any time chelev or chazer, or any time the OU gives a hechsher, and is a concern, does something have shishim or not have shishim? Why do I need shishim? What happened to classic bitul b'roiv? And this really is the sugya unto itself. And this is really the sugya of Tam Keker. The Rishonim explained that the concern which the Gemara addresses, and the Gemara knows, and the Gemara Pesachim, but the Gemara learns out from Mishras Anovim, that when bread is soaked in wine, and it has a taste of wine, even though one is not eating wine, we say that that's still considered wine. But why don't we say it's bottled to the bread? It's bitul b'roiv. The teretz is tam ke'ika, which means that the tam of A, which is mixed up into B, since one tastes A, there is no tam ke'ika. That is the chiddush of tam ke'ika. Now, it happens to be that Rashi and Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis says that la halocha, we do not paskin tam ke'ika. We hold that tam ke'ika is only midrabbanan, Rashi says. This will have ramifications, by the way, in a most basic way. If somebody has a suffix, if there is shishim or not, keneged machal sasuris, according to Roy Vishoinim, and we pass in that way in the Shulchan Aruch, Yerideh Tzadikhez, Tam Keike is de oiraisa, in which case, if we have one has a suffix, one has to be machim until he knows for sure the shishim. According to Rashi, if there's legitimate room for doubt that there is shishim, then one could be matter. It's only a suffix de abon. Be'etzem, Rashi says, and that's Tzadikhez, I'm in Beis, I read you the Rashi. It's the bottom Rashi. Tzadikhez, I'm in Beis, Rashi, Dibra Maske, Letam Keike. It's only a din in kachim. Kachim the Torah is machmir. Later on, Rashi says, "V'rova lesle tam keikim bechulim ki demefarish midvaza midaraisa beruba bottle midaraisa." We say bittul b'roiv. Ela midrabanan, the din of tam keikim is only in isur achum le midrabanan. V'achinami shaminu leil Rabbi Yechim misagaz avaydizar. This is crucial. Rashi quotes a member of Rabbi Yechon and Avodah Zarah of Samach Zayinam and Ba'alev. Rabbi Yechon says, "Kol shetamoy v'loy mamoshoy ein loykin olov." Rashi explains, what does this mean? Tamoy v'loy mamoshoy. Tamoy means that a person has a pot of kosher meat, into it fell a bit of chelev, or into it fell a bit of basar b'chalav, or gidanash, or whatever the case may be. Since there's only the food itself dissolved, there's nothing here, there's no chelev here, or could be that the person pulled out a piece of chelev, but because it was hot, the medium of the heat of cooking, took out a certain amount of tam that was in the piece of chelev and it went into the pot of meat. Even if it has a tam of chelev, this whole pot, since it's only tam v'loy mamosh, one is not eating a piece of chelev per se, one is only having a pot of kosher meat with a taste of chelev, the halacha is in loykin olof. Rashi explains that the Gemara, now, Avodah Zarah, the member of Rabbi Yochanan, is referring to every tam keker. Anytime one has food that has a tam of a dvar iser, the halacha is in loykin olof. Why? Rashi explains it's only midrabon. Mitzvah Shem will see that there are other opinions in the Rishayim. Rashi says, "I v'hodi alfinu le b'psachim minozeh u'mishras litin tam keker sviru lo amiroi basoy." The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Mendal, the Gemara in Nozeh, that says from mishras the tam keker. One cannot learn out from there. Rashi says, whatever it is, we don't learn out from there. Rashi explains also that the halacha in Nozir is a unique halacha. In Nozir, called Hetemet Starf Leisim, which is an interesting halacha. The Gemara explains that if a Nozir would eat a piece of bread with a little bit wine taste in it, normally we would say that since it's only a mashuhu of yayin, even if we say tam keikah deraisa, but the maisi didn't eat a kzayis, there wouldn't be malchus. The Gemara in Nozir says no. Hetem mitzaref leisu, which means that the bread and the wine are to be considered together to make the shear of an achilas kezayis, which would asu and would give him a shame of eating a kezayis, he would get malchus. Why is that? I believe the explanation of this, I want to have heard this hesber from my Rebbe, the Mir Rashid HaGoynu B'Shmo Ben Ram Zatzal. And the Rashid Zatzal explained that Mishras teaches us that since Yayin is not a Cheftzit Yisur, Yayin is not a Dvar Yisur unto itself. There's nothing wrong with Yayin. It's not also the whole Klal Yisur. The Yisur is only for a Nozer to do an Achila of Yayin. Therefore, the Torah said that if he's doing an Achila, because he's eating, he's definitely doing an Achila, definitely has to make a ala michyo if he eats a few cookies that have a wine taste, right? He's doing a ma'is achila. And in that ma'is achila is yayin as well as something else, then it's chayv malkis. If one has to eat an achilas iser of yayin, then one would have to eat a whole kezayis of yayin. But if one only has to be oichel, and the achila has to include the yayin, then one does not need a kezayis of the yayin to ask. Meaning to say, that by every other, to make a long story short, by all machalos asus, by chelev, by dam, by noiser, by bosom macholov, by whatever machalos asus we're discussing, by dvarim tmeim, by shrotzim, etc., the halacha is that one has to eat that dvar is in a significant way. Over there we do not say tam keker. Rashi says, in fact, there's bitul berug, there's actually bitul berug. Which would mean, as we said, that if since the pot beroiv is kosher, so the halacha would be that everything else is kosher. The Rashba and the Ram over here on Daf Tzad Ches asked the obvious question on Rashi. They say, what is shaykh to talk about bitul beroiv when we're talking about something that has a taste? Bitul beroiv is a concept only when you can't tell what something is. When you can't tell what something is, you have 20 pieces of meat mixed together, and you don't know which one is kosher. Which of the 19 that are kosher, which one is treif? Since there's a roiv that are kosher, we say bitul beroiv, we say that the one becomes bottled to the 19, they all become mutter to eat. We'll discuss the fine details of the halacha mitzvah in a later shiur. That's only true when you don't know which one is kosher, which one is treif. Obviously, if you know which piece of meat is treif, the fact that it's sitting in a pile together with kosher meat does not render it awesome. So the Rashi and the Ran say that if in the cholent you can taste the taste of chelev, that itself says that there's no bitul beroiv. You can taste it. It's a davar nikar. What does Rashi hold? And they say that of course als bitul beroiv there's no reason not to say tam keiker. The chiddush of tam keiker is only that we consider the taste to be a davar shalisser, which we said we learn out from the Gemara and Daf Kuf Yud Beis, that the distilled essence, the taste of something, the liquefied taste of a dvar yisur of a sheretz, is to be considered as if one is eating the sheretz. So it's true also in the cholent. If one tastes a dvar yisur in a bowl of cholent, one tastes the taste of paprika, which is arlo, one tastes the taste of chelev in the cholent, then that would render the whole pot awesome. One tastes it, it's awesome. Bitul beroiv? What shaykh bitul beroiv? What does Rashi hold? Rashi holds that we can't look at the dvar iser as existing independently of the whole pot of food. Since the dvar iser became mixed in the chelev, the paprika got mixed into the pot of food, it's only oser as far as the pot of food is concerned. Meaning to say, we don't look at a person who's eating as eating cholent that has a chelev taste, as if the person is eating cholent with a drop of chelev, which incidentally did not become bottled, because since you could taste it, there's no bitul beroiv, as we said according to the Rashi and the Ran, who hold that tam keikir is deraisa. Rashi holds that you're not eating paprika, you're not eating chelev. What are you eating? You're eating a pot of cholent, you're eating a bowl of cholent that has a chelev taste. Either the whole thing is osur, Or the chelev itself is not osur. Either we look at it that the whole cholent is osur because you're eating cholent with a chelev taste, incidentally, not incidentally. Importantly, Rashi in Pesachim Daf Mem Daled holds that if we would hold tam keiker deraisa, again, we hold, Rashi says, halacha l'maaseh tam keiker lav deraisa. But if we would hold tam keiker deraisa, if a person would have dropped in a piece of chelev, that's a half a kazayas big into a pot of food, the whole, what's called by the Rishonim, nepach, the whole pot, the whole bowl of chol would be nepach leiser, even though the piece of chelev is only a half a kazayas, since it gives taste to the whole bowl of chol. If a person would eat a kazayas of chelev flavored chol, he would get malchus. I didn't eat a kazayas of chelev. He ate at best only a mashu of chelev. No. The taste of the chelev, taste is ikr. The most important part of food is the taste. And if the taste of the cholent is the taste of chelev, or it has on the bottom a taste of chelev, then one is eating chelev by eating the cholent. So it's kula nepach leiser, and therefore the whole cholent becomes awesome. If we hold the tam ke'ikr is not the raisa, as Rashi learns of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we mentioned, the memory of Rabbi Yochanan, tam v'loy mamish en loykin alov, then what that means to say is we don't say this chiddush. We don't look at the whole cholen as being one shtik chelev, as being all a chelev flavored bowl of cholen. We look at the chelev as chelev. We look at the food as food, and therefore the chelev no longer exists. It's batel b'roif. It's batel b'roif. That's what Rashi holds. This is the opinion of Rashi. As we said, many Rishonim hold not that way. La halacha, we do not paskin like Rashi. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin. The tam keikah is d'oraisa. Why? Because since iser, even in a distilled form, even in taste form, where you're not eating the piece of meat itself, but you're eating the taste, the essence of the chelev that was absorbed by the food that it was cooked in, that itself is called in chelev. A bittul b'roif stam doesn't exist. Why does the bittul b'roif not exist? Because one is not eating one, because it's nikr. If it's nikr b'taima, there is no bittul b'roif. These are the two polar opposites. Incidentally, I might add an interesting maramokim that as far as this chiddush of Rashi, that it's either all or nothing. Either we look at the whole thing as one taruvis of kulo yisr, or we say bittul b'roif and the whole pot is Kuloi Heter, finds a parallel there's a fascinating parallel that the Netziv Mivalojin in his Sefer Meroi Misod over here in Chum, that Tzadik Ches, on the Rashi that we just read at length, points out a Rashi in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. Even though it's totally not Machol Sasurus, but the concept, in a conceptual way, Rashi says the same thing. Rashi talks over there, a person has a bunch of schach on top of the Sukkah. Part of the sichuch that he has on top of the sukkah is branches that are still connected to a tree that's right next to the sukkah. Meaning to say, he put on a pile of bamboo. Part of the roof of the sukkah is covered by branches that are leaning over from the tree that he bunched together with the schach. Rashi says that if roiv of the sichuch, what's covering the top of your sukkah, is kosher, then we say bittul b'roiv. And the Ran asks over there in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, what should I put the Baroiv? Since if you climb up with a ladder, you can see what's kosher schach, what's already tolush, what's already not part of the tree, and what's still attached to the tree, which is obviously not kosher schach, because schach has to be tolush and not mechubal lekarka. What should I put the Baroiv when you can see what's kosher schach, what's not? Explains in Netziv, Bikitzur Lashonoi, I'm just explaining it a little bit more, that this is the same concept. Rashi does not hold that the fact that something is nikr destroys the concept of bittul b'roiv when we're dealing with the whole entity as one. Meaning to say, when we deal with the roof of a person's sukkah, and we want to know, is it covered with kosher schach or not? We're not counting piece by piece. We're looking at the roof in its entirety, and we're looking at the roof and saying, is it a sichuch ksheira, or is it a sichuch psula? The whole roof is one entity that covers the sukkah. Is it a schach, a sichuch ksheira, or is it psula? If roiv is kosher, then the definition of the whole sichuch goes basa roiv, acherab nahatis, the whole thing is kosher. The same is true by a pot of food. Even though theoretically you could pick out pieces. The fact that when we have 20 pieces mixed together, and it's nikkur, which one is treif, we're not mevatel that piece of meat, is because over there it's not mixed together, it's not one entity. But where a pot of food is mixed together, I mean, say you have a pile of meat, and you don't know which one is kosher, which one is treif, but there's a siman on one that's treif, that one is treif, the other 19 are kosher. But if it would be all, if those 20 piles of meat would be cooked together, so they're not separate entities anymore. The treif of meat no longer exists as an entity for itself to be considered a Dvar Yisur. It's all part of the path. As far as the path in totality is concerned, either there's a din of Tam Keiko, which we're asking up, as we said, according to Rashi and Psachim, the whole path, or the Halacha L'maisa, we say other Rabbah, we say that the entity of the path is Beroy of kosher, we say achri am lahatis, and the food is kosher, even though there is a taste of chelet, that is, it would only be derabon. As we said, there are nafkaminas, it's only derabon, you can be makel in certain cases of safi. This is the sheet of Rashi, Lumas to Rishonim, that deny the concept of Rashi that shayach bitul beroyv as far as something which is mixed up in a cooked pot of food is concerned. There are variations of this theme in other Rishonim. The Ravid holds that Tam Keiker is an Issa Deraisa, but he says even if one were to eat Tam Keiker, a whole kezayis, of what was mixed into the food that was treif, meaning to say, there's a pot of 50 kezayisim of cholent. One has a kezayis of chelev that fell in, it was mixed in together, it gives it a taste of chelev, the halach is one mustn't eat the pot of food, it's also midaraisa, the Ravid says, he holds the tam keik is deraisa. However, he says, even if somebody would eat the whole pot, he would not get malchus. Why is that? It would seem that the Ravid holds, L'chor is eating a kezayis of chelev, once it doesn't become bottle, he's eating a kezayis of chelev. The Ravid holds, L'chor, that as far as regular machol sasur is concerned, he holds like Rashi. Since the kezayis of chelev fell into the pot, it no longer has a significance, it's bottled to the pot, and it's not called one is eating chelev. As a straightforward achilas chelev, one is not eating machol sasur. Therefore there's no malchus. There's a chiddush ha-Torah the Gemara learns out of a ribuy ha-kosov of Mishras, L'Rabbo is Tam Ki Iker, that he says is an added din, it's not the din, the lav of Machol Sasuz itself. What very often we find in Rishonim, when something is only an added din, a chumra, even if it's deraisa, it does not have the full severity of eating the chelev, it's only eating something that has a taste of chelev, L'Rabbo is Tamon Ki Ikron. It's only a ribuy akro. On that level, where it's only a chumra deraisa, even though it's also midaraisa, there would not be malchus. It's not considered one is eating the chelev itself. This stims very nicely with another interesting ravid, Avodah Zarah, that says that tam ki ikur is only relevant when we're talking about isur achila. If there was yayin nesach that was mixed up in a pot of food, there was a large pot of food mixing on a stove, one had a few ounces of yayin nesach mixed in, the food now tastes like Yayin Nesef, and like Zohar, we learn Midrabbana, Chazal said that Yayin Nesef is always a B'mashu, but Midaraisa, it has the same halachas as Shishim. The Ravid says that it would be also B'achila, but it would not Asur B'hano. Yisuri Hano are not Chal al Yidei Tam Keiker. What's the pshat? If we learn that Tam Keiker just tells us that there's no Bittul Beroiv, if there's no Bittul Beroiv, so then you're eating Yayin Nesef. The same way Yayin Nesef is also B'achila, it's also B'hano. One would not be allowed to sell the pot of food that has a taste of Yayin Nesef. One would not be allowed to sell that pot of food because it's being netted with their rice and there's a nisano on Yayin Nesef. Or Bas V'chol for the same price. However, the Ravid is telling us that there's a new Gzeres HaKosov that says that Tam of Machol Sasuris is also awesome. That's only Nischadish in the Parsha of Machol Sasuris. It's not Nischadish in the Parsha of Hano'oi Sasuris. Again, it could very well be Lefi the Rambam that we discussed in the previous year, that Isra Achila and Isra Ano are one by nature. It could very well be that if the Torah was Megala, that the Isra Achila are there even when there's only a Tam of Machol Sasuris, it could be by definition that would include the Isra Ano. So the Rabbi doesn't hold to that Rambam either, which is not true. The Rabbi is not Mechuyiv to the Chiddush that we discussed, the Shitzes Rambam. This is a third sheet of the Ravid, which is a middle sheet. Again, Tam Keiker Deraisa. But in principle, he would hold like Rashi, but he holds that the pasuk of Mishras, of Tam Keiker, is outstanding. It's a pasuk that's even L'maskono. And therefore, he explains that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Rashi quotes, Tam Ve'loi Mamashe Ein Loikin, doesn't mean that's Midrabbonim. It's also Midrais, Obrein Loikin. It's a Chiddush HaKro, you don't get Malkus on it. Because it's an added Ribui HaKosah. This is the third shita. The Rambam has a fascinating shita over here. It's a fourth shita. And the Rambam shita is based on the same paradox. On the one hand, one is not eating chalev. If one has chalev that falls into a pot of food, one's not eating chalev. The chalev is mixed up. Could be this bit of a roiv. It could be that the chalev is to be considered halachically as not existing anymore. Therefore, we do not look at a person who eats cholent, which is flavored by chalev, as if he's eating a piece of chalev. The Rambam says, however, in Machol Sasuris, that since there is a pasuk of Mishras to teach us the tamkich, what does that teach us? It doesn't sound like the Rajma and the Ram that the Torah asserted and is considered you eating chalev. He holds that the Torah created, somewhat similar to the Ravid's concept, the Torah created a new choymer machol sasuris called tama machol sasuris, except the Rambam adds an extra spin on this definition. What the Rambam says is, where am I getting that the Rambam holds this way? The Rambam doesn't explain it as such. But the Rambam says an interesting halacha. The Rambam says that if a piece of chalev fell into a pot of meat, if the mixture is dense enough with the macholas asuros, that when one eats the cholent, he'll be eating. We know that every macholas asuros, or even a matzah and morah, where one has to eat in order to be mekayim a mitzvah, the shear of achilo, legabe macholas asuros, legabe mitzvahs, legabe alamichim and bichsamozin, of eating, is considered when one eats a kazayis, betoich shir kdei achilas pras. If one nibbles at a piece of matzah, and over a half an hour one eats a kazayis of matzah, he's not yotzen. He has to eat, there's a certain time limit called bichdei achilas pras. Some say it's 2 minutes, some say 7 minutes. By matzah with machmitz, deraisa. If you want to be a brisker, so you look at your watch, and you stuff matzah in your mouth to make sure that you have two kazayis in under 2 minutes, the shiurim range any place from 2 to 7 minutes, depending on who you ask. Different achronim have different shitas. It's an Indian bifne atzmai. However, as far as machalas asuris are concerned, whatever that shiur in time limit is, if the mixture of the chemlev in the pot of cholent is dense enough that one will eat a kezayis b'toychidei achilas pras, then that's called the eight chemlev. And I'll get malchus. Meaning to say, and the Rambam adds that if there's less than that shear, you might taste the chalev, but lamaisa, you only eat one kezayis over the shear. You could only eat one kezayis over the shear of three kedei achilas prasas. Then it's not awesome. In that case, the chalev becomes bottle. It's mutter mideraisa. It's only awesome miderabonim. Why is that? The Rambam holds, and this is the way Gedolei Achronim. The one who explains it in full depth is Reb Chaim Brisker, in the Sefer Kedusha Reb Chaim Alevi al Rambam. And he explains that since Mishras, the din of Tam Keker, is a new chalois, which is chal, on the whole taruvis, meaning to say there's no din that the chalev kisha la'atzma is also. In that case, if you ate a half kazayas chalev, what's the difference if you ate a whole kazayas chalev or if you ate a mashu by eating the chalent? Every time you take a bite of that chalent, there's a mashu, sheva mashu, otherwise it wouldn't taste like chalev, right? Obviously, you're eating a drop of chalev every time you open up your mouth and taking a bite of the chalent. Why shouldn't it be also midirabonon? Well, I'm sorry, why shouldn't it be also midiraisa? Because there's always a lochinality of chatzi kazayas. Chatzi shir also minatayru we pass. So why shouldn't it be also? The Rambam holds that the Torah was mechadish a new type of macholas asuris called tam of macholas asuris. It's only also when you have the full severity of a maisa achilo. When you have a full maisa achilo, which means obviously you're eating a kazayis of that thing, teichu de'achilas pras, the Torah asked it up. But if not, then it becomes bal. So again, in concept, the Rambam holds like Rashi that there should be bittul beroiv, except that the Torah is mechadish and lugzayzik also, and that's the way the Rambam explains the Gemara of taimoy veloy mamosh ein loykin. Since it's not mamosh, it's not dense enough to be considered eating a kazayis of chelev bifnei atzmoy ein loykin alov. It's also except that he holds midirabonon. The Ravid holds ein loykin alov means that it would only be also midiraisa, but it wouldn't be malchus. There's a variation of the Rambam's theme, which is the Shita of Reb Chaim Cohen, brought down the Rosh. By us, it's by Chalo, Legabi Chom Tzumatzo, and other places, where Reb Chaim Cohen had a drop of a different spin on the Rambam Shita. He held that it also, that's totally in the density of the Machalos HaSuris. It's not enough that it tastes like Chalim. In order to create this Choymer Din called Tam Ke'ikim Midar Raisa, it has to be dense enough that when it's dense enough, that you, if you were eating it, you'd be able to eat a kazayis bichdei achilas pras. He adds that then the whole thing, the same way we explained the Rashi, the whole thing, the whole pot would become also. It's kulay nepach to be considered chelev. If it's that dense that every time you eat the cholim, you eat a kazayis, you eat the cholim, you'd be able to eat a kazayis bichdei achilas pras, which means that it's pretty dense. It's not just the 1 in 50. It has to be about 1 in 5 or 1 in 6. That density would render the whole bowl of cholim to be considered one shtik chelev, would be considered kuloi chelev. And then if one would eat a kazayis, even not eat 5 kazayis, which would include a kazayis of chelev, one would eat one kazayis of the cholim that has the chelev flavored cholim, the halacha would be that he would get malchus. Means he holds like Rashi, that's kuloi nepach le'isur, but the criteria for it being kuloi nepach le'isur is the density which renders it not only Tam of Machalos Asuris, but it renders it Mamosh of Machalos Asuris. That's the way he explains the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Rambam doesn't have this added twist. The Rambam says you have to actually eat a Kazayas of Chelev B'chdei Achilas Pras, and then that's called you eating Machalos Asuris of Mishras of Tam Ke'ikur. So again, in the Sugya of Tam Ke'ikur, we explain that there are two basic Kedushim. There's the Chiddush that even something which is a distilled essence, it's only taste, it's only flavor of Machalos Asuris, is to be considered Machalos Asuris itself. Otherwise, maybe you would say that Bosa Nevela, Bosa Trefa, or Ginanosho, or Chelev, is only to be considered Machalos Asuris when it's in its original form. Chiddush A. Chiddush B is vis-a-vis the sugya of Bittul Baroy, which is B'chol HaTorah Kula. Rashi bows his head to the concept of Bittul Baroy, and he says, Halacha L'maisa, in every Tairovis of Issa Beheter, there is a halacha of Bittul Baroyv. Obviously, I might add in parentheses that according to Rashi, this is not true when we talk about Basa B'cholof. When we talk about a drop of milk spilling into Basa, there's less than Shishim, there, according to everybody, it's also Deraisa. Rashi doesn't hold a Bittul Baroyv. This, Emir Sashem will discuss, as we said, the Chiddush, that Basa B'cholof is not like Taruv, this is already stage 2. But we had to explain first the concept that underlie the halacha of Kol Isur. In Mitzvah Shem, in a later shiur, we'll get to what's Nischadish in the halacha of Bishul Basa B'cholof that asks us even against the regular Gedorim of Bittul Baroyv. So Rashi holds halacha reminds you that there is Bittul Baroyv, and therefore there's no Tam Ke'ikur, it's only in Issur Derabbanan. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass consistent deraisa, but even in Tam Ke'ikur being deraisa, there are different variations. As we said, there's the Rashi and the Ram that hold for a Dovah Pashrut, that there is no Bittul Baroyv. The fact that when a person eats cholent, which is flavored by Machalos Asuris, it's called he's eating that Machalos Asuris because there is no Bittul. If it's Nikr, there's no Bittul Baroyv. We explained that Machalos Rashi and Ram and Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph is based on the same concept, the same Chilukin concept. That's the Rashi and the Ram. The Raivid had a middle shita, we said, where theoretically there would be Bittul Baroyv, the Chelev would not be considered as being Machalos Asuris, except for the fact that the Torah was Mechadish, a new Chumra, a Ribu Yakro, which would only be Machalos Asuris, and not be Yisuri Hano, we said, but there would not be Malkus, and that's the Pshat in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Then we had the fourth Pshat, which would be the Rambam, that holds that the density of the Machalos Asuris of the Taruvis is what determines whether it is to be considered eating Chela. It's not enough that you taste it. Theoretically, there would be Bittul Baroyv, but if it's dense enough that it's called you eating Chela with the regular Shir Achila of Kol Machalos Asuris, which is Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, then that would be called Tam Ke'ikur, which would render it Machalos Asuris Midaraisa. And the variation of the Rambam, which is the Shita of Reb Chaim Kohen, one of the Balei Tosfos, brought in the Rosh, which would be that once you have that density, then the whole pot becomes Aser, and then the whole pot would be Malkus on eating even one Kazayis in the pot. You don't have to eat 5 Kazayisim in order to assure that you're eating Chelev in order to get Malkus. If a person would eat one Kazayis of that pot, that would render his Achila an Achila of Chelev, since the whole pot is dense enough, it's Kuloi Chelev, it's Nepach Kuloi Le'iser, and then he would get Malkus. These are the 5 Shittas. And again, this is the basic Tzura of Tam Ke'ikur, with the resulting Chiddush of what Aser is in every Taruvus. We're not going to discuss right now the Pratim of when it Aser is, how long it has to be in the pot, what type of heat medium will transfer taste. These are all protein. I want to discuss the klal hadvarim in order that the concepts should become a little more clear.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.